Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Today's topic, 2022 housing markets mixed signals. All right, guys, we are into the third quarter and getting near the final stretch run of 2022, and wanted to jump in and kind of give you guys some economic updates here on the housing market. And I've done a little research here from my friends, not only at the Wisconsin Realtors Association, our friends at the National Association of Realtors, and also my friends at the National Association of Home Builders, compiled some of their data as well as my analysis on what's going on. And hopefully this will be helpful for you guys, whether you're thinking about selling your house, if you are thinking about purchasing a home, or deciding when you may want to do this. Hopefully this information is helpful. It's just data. And of course, always consult with your local realtor or builder for more specific information, because every market is different and everyone's situation is always different. Now, before I dive into full statistics, other friendly disclaimer, and this is really more of a kind of global disclaimer, global thought here. You know, there's some not so good news. There's some good news in housing. The bottom line, though, with housing is if you need a home, buy a home. Like, you can't ever wait for the market to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. So that's my first piece of advice. And my second piece of advice is, even if the housing market is down slightly, it's still a good investment. And the reason it is, you know, you look at stocks and things like that, there's a lot more volatility in stocks. And at the end of the day, you don't really have anything to show for it. Whereas if you have a home, if the value goes down a little bit, or you buy it a little bit too high, and you never quite get that full capture on the value, you're still using the asset. So it's still a really good investment, and it's still one of the best hedges you can ever have in a recession is owning real estate. All the main investor types will say that. So just keep that in mind as you analyze the data. And you have to understand, like, sometimes just people just look at numbers and go, oh my gosh, I don't like that number. I'm folding my arms up and I'm walking away. And that's not really the best move. I mean, if you were to go buy a car right now and then you were to finance that car, you're driving that thing off the lot. It's worth $5,000 less the minute you drive it off the lot. Now you've got a loan on it. That is a massively depreciating asset. A home probably is still going to be worth more by the time you turn around and sell it and you used it. Plus the rates are probably less. So a lot of different things to factor into that. So just keep that all in mind as you analyze this. All right, let's talk about these mixed signals for housing. Let's look at Wisconsin first, and then we'll go nationally with the data. All right, as of July of 2022 versus July of 21, so 1 year comparison here, sales are down overall. This is new and existing homes, 19.2%. So huge decline in sales year over year. That would mean just people aren't buying, right? But here's the weird thing. This is why I say there's mixed signals. The average sale price is up 11.3%. That's weird. Sales are down, but prices are up. Okay. And the days on the market is still down. So that means part of the reason that sales are down is not because of low demand, but just because of low inventory. There isn't enough housing on the market for people to buy. So sales are down partly because of low inventory. And then it's also down partly because of affordability. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. So it's kind of a weird time, right? People are still wanting to buy homes. They're paying premium dollar for them, but we're seeing less volume. All right, so let's look at some other data from Wisconsin here. Year to date, sales are down 8.8%. So, you know, we talked from July to July. Now we're just talking January to end of July is when this data was collected. So year-to-date sales are down 8.8%. So not quite as far year over year. The price, though, is up 9.6%. So again, just looking at this year, we're still seeing increases in price. Maybe not quite as high, you know, if you add in that other quarter from last year. But yeah, it's showing some signs of health that, you know, people are still trying to buy homes. Another interesting piece of data here from Wisconsin is the months of inventory of the housing market. Typically, a healthy market is about 5 to 6 months. We're still at 3 months of inventory. And recently, the inventory levels have declined. It went from 3.2 months down to 3. So again, there just isn't enough product out on the market. So the other thing that they collected data on, which I find very, very interesting, and this isn't something that they normally analyze, but this is very interesting. The rural area inventory is increased. The number of homes on the market and month supply has increased in very rural areas, but it's decreased in the metro areas. And why do you think that is? Well, when you've got $3.50, $4, over $4 gas, guess what? People start deciding to sell their homes in those more rural areas and try and move closer into work. We saw that back at the other housing recession back in 2008 to 2010 when gas was $4 a gallon. You couldn't give away home. Well, maybe you could give them away, but you could barely give away homes in rural markets, and everybody wanted to move closer into town because they didn't want to spend $4 gas. Now, we have one hedge against that, and that's we do have more people working from home. We have more technology to work from home with Zoom and Teams and WebEx, all these great things that allow us to be more connected. But we are also seeing companies say, hey, no more work from home. Get your butt back into the office. So that definitely is putting more pressure on that. So very interesting data point there. And then the other interesting data point, we talk about interest rates. Year over year, interest rates have doubled. So from July of last year to July of this year, we're at a 5% interest rate roughly right now, and we were somewhere in the upper twos about a year ago, so nearly double interest rate increase. So yeah, that definitely affects things. So that's Wisconsin, right? Let's look nationally now. What's going on? Is Wisconsin different? Are we in line with things? Well, first data point here from the National Association of Realtors is the median sale price of homes around the country is now $403,800. $403,800. I remember when that number used to be in the 200s. In fact, let's talk about that for a second. Last year, the median sale price was $366,900. So we're talking, you know, a $40,000 increase roughly on a median sale price. A little bit less than that, but nearly $40,000 one year. That is a huge chunk of change. Well, what happened the year before? Well, the year before was even worse. 2020, the median sale price was $286,800. Remember when I said, remember when this number was in the 200s? So in 2020, it was $286,000, and it went up nearly $80,000 in one year. So it went up $80,000 and then, you know, nearly $40,000. Boy. That's crazy. That is crazy, seeing the demand on housing and the pressure on the pricing and the lack of inventory. That starts to make a lot more sense when you start to look at that stuff. All right, now here's the other sobering fact. People are still buying houses. Prices are going up. That's good news. Bad news. Affordability is, I would say, near crisis level. And I hate to say that, and I hate to use those kind of terms, but when you see this, it's pretty sobering. Okay, so a National Association of Realtors measures housing affordability index. In 2022, the housing affordability index was 98.5. Well, okay, great. What does that mean? Well, let's put it in comparison for you. The housing affordability index, now the higher the number, the more affordable the housing is. That's kind of how this works. Okay, so we got 98.5 in June of 22. In June of 21, it was 143.1. That is a huge, huge shift in affordability index. Well, what was it in 2020? Well, it was 159.1. So for the last 2 years, the affordability index has been crashing down. It is not as affordable as it used to be. And being under 100 especially is sobering, to say the least. So how is housing affordability measured? Well, it's a fairly complex formula. I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but the key things they look at are the median price of homes. So we know that's up a lot over the last 2 years. So that's going to affect the affordability index. Also factored in is the mortgage interest rate. Now, up until this year, the rates had been very, very low, historically low. And even still on a chart putting this into context, interest rates are still very low over a 10-year period, over a 20-year period. If you say you've got a 5% interest rate, over a 20-year period, you're going to take that 9 times out of 10. So it's still a very low rate, but we've been spoiled, let's be honest, with these sub-3 rates or these 3% rates. They couldn't last. They lasted longer than they should have, let's be honest. Okay, so housing affordability index, again, is median price compared with interest rates, and then also any PNI that you would have, or PMI rather, not, I know I said PNI, PMI, and then also looking at median household income. So you factor all those things in and come up with the housing affordability index. Now, median household income has increased slightly over the past couple years, and actually it's increased quite a bit more in the last year. That's a good thing, but the cost of the houses, the interest rates have increased way faster than any wages have. And this is putting a lot of pressure on housing affordability. All right, last national stats from housing from the Realtors Association. Overall, year-to-year sales are down about 5.9%. Okay, so nationally, sales are down a little bit less than they are here in Wisconsin. So we are getting hit a little harder in my state. But again, we say, oh, that's bad news, but the average days on the market is also down 3 days. So things are moving quickly and selling for higher prices. So again, what this is saying is, especially on the lower end, people are just snapping houses up. There just is not enough of that lower housing stock out on the market. All right, pretty interesting stuff. Now let's look at our builder market here, and specifically my market. Obviously, this is where I focus most of my attention on. So thanks to my friends at the National Association of Home Builders, they have determined that only 42.8% of the homes on the market right now are affordable, meaning that the median income can afford to buy those homes. So that's terrible. I mean, you want to have at least half, if not more than half, the housing stock being able to be purchased by the median income. Now we're almost 8%, 7.2% below that median mark, and that is not good. So again, affordability is the number one challenge that we see here. New home sales are down 12.6% over the last year. That's a pretty big drop, but this is where it gets a little more sobering beyond that. They were projecting a lot higher housing starts. They're projecting an increase in housing starts before the year started. We're down 29% below estimated housing starts for the year. And we are now on track to build nationally about 916,000 homes. Projected was over 1 million. And ideally, we need to be building about 1.1 million homes just to replenish the housing market, replenish the homes on the market. So now, again, we are underproducing what we need. And this is only going to continue to drive the price up because, again, there's going to be not enough supply, too much demand. We need to get kids into the trades. That's a big part of it. But we also really got to start taking housing affordability very seriously. And how we do that is, we've got to start looking at this regulation. We've got to start getting some of this out of the way. We've got to start allowing smaller lots, smaller homes, stopping all these environmental regulations, stopping all these energy mandates, and allow us to build a little bit lower, more affordable stock for people to help, especially first-time home buyers. All right, let's talk about a couple other quick things with regards to homes. Permits are down 5.9% for the year. So the home sales are down 12%, but permits are only down 5.9%. I attribute that to this factor. And this is myself personally. I had no inventory. So going into the beginning of the year, I had nothing to sell to move into right away. So I think that's why you're seeing the home sales down. But the permits aren't down as much because I had to replenish my inventory. So it makes sense that the permits are down about half the rate that the home sales are down, because I think a lot of builders are in a similar situation. So I'm replenishing my inventory. That means I'm still pulling some permits and finishing some jobs up. But if those things don't sell, you're going to really see permit percentage crash in the next 2 quarters if these new homes that are hitting the market don't sell. I think that's with myself and many other builders around the country included. All right, let's talk about lumber, because lumber was a huge, huge variable for new construction over the past 2-3 years. Good news is, as of today, the lumber futures is around $503 per thousand. Well, what does that mean? That's for 1,000 board feet of lumber. Now, if you looked at over the past few years, the normal per thousand cost of lumber was probably closer to $350 to $400 per thousand. That's usually the area that it went into. And when it got close to $400, we got kind of ticked off as builders. That was high. So we are still very high on lumber prices compared to where they normally are. And I use the air quotes under normal. Okay. But they are down a lot just over the last year. So June of this year, we were over $1,400 per thousand for lumber. That is just an insanely ridiculous number. And of course, in May of 2020, we were also in that $1,400 per thousand range. That was the time when I put out that viral lumber photo, if you guys remember that. So, and then it went down right away after that, which was good. But crazy, crazy stuff here. So lumber is down a lot, but it's still, you know, it's still probably $150 per thousand higher than we would like to see it. And that still has a pretty profound impact on the cost of the home. I mean, that's probably a $10,000 to $14,000 savings if we can get that lumber price down a little more. And that would definitely help more people buy new homes. But it's still a much more favorable price than it has been in a very long time. So if you're thinking about building, if you're considering home building, you know, you still got pretty favorable interest rates. You've got much more favorable lumber prices. And, you know, builder workload permits are down a little bit. So, you know, you can probably get your house built a little quicker. That's the good news, because for a while it was taking over a year. An average build from kind of inception to completion, and when I mean inception, that also includes like permitting and planning, was over a year, like 1.1 years, maybe 1.2 years to get a home built. And that number should be going down as the permit levels go down, as the workload goes down. So if you want to get your home built, you will be able to get it built hopefully a little bit quicker. You're going to be getting it built for a much better price than just a year ago. And, you know, I think, you know, as builders slow down, you'll be a higher priority, probably get a little better service and so on and so forth. So I think there's a lot of positives for someone that wants to build. Just understand that, you know, a new home is going to cost more than an existing home. We know that it's going to be, you know, higher gap. But when you factor in some different things, like you factor in the deferred maintenance you're going to have on an existing home and the higher energy efficiency and the cost savings you're going to get on your heating and cooling bills, guess what? That new home is looking pretty good. And you don't have to, you get what you want, right? You don't have to go in and do a bunch of cosmetic stuff to it after you move in. So that $50,000, $75,000 you might dump into that existing home just to make it look pretty, and then that other $50,000 that you probably will be needing to put into that home in the next 3 to 5 years, you don't have to worry about. And that's really your gap. That's your difference. So that new home isn't any more expensive than that existing home when you factor in deferred maintenance, you factor in cosmetic updates, and you also throw some energy efficiency dollars in there as well, because a new home is probably about 25% more efficient. Now it's looking pretty good. So again, overall, big picture, all this stuff that I've compiled here for you, it kind of paints the picture, right? Big takeaways: rural markets declining rapidly, More metro markets are doing a little better. Obviously, lower price inventory is flying off the shelves. It's selling for over asking. Higher price inventory is sitting on the market a little bit more. Builders are throttling back their starts a little bit. They're seeing less new home traffic, but they are replenishing some inventory on the market as well. That's why we're still seeing the home sales down, but the permits aren't down nearly as much. So things are sort of resetting after this huge kind of blowout from the pandemic and the huge numbers in sales. But the housing affordability index is very, very poor right now. And that should be a very big focus for our government and our regulators looking forward, because that's almost an alarming number and we got to do something about it. So we're going to start pounding the pavement about that and hopefully getting some awareness and maybe some relief there in the future. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the content. I hope you enjoy the economic stuff. It's very interesting. A lot of really crazy dynamics going on right now. And, you know, always keep in mind, housing is, even as we're in a recession right now, housing is still a great hedge. It's still a great investment. It's the only thing I know of that you can use and live in and enjoy and still see it climb in value. So don't walk away from housing just because prices are a tad higher or rates are a tad higher. Still a very good investment, and you know, it's a stable investment for you as well. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Home Building Hero. We'll catch you all soon.
Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're building, buying, or designing your next project, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. Coming to you live today from the Bellman Homes Studio. I am David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes, and thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero today. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content.